morning. I'm Lynn Burton, a member of Unity Church Unitarian. It's a joy to be with you this morning, and I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are visiting with us for the first time. We're glad that you are here. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place that helps you to find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. Following the service, you're invited for refreshments in the parish hall. There you can meet new friends and old, visit our book stall, and stop by the information tables. Cards and envelopes are available there for those who want to send personal words of greeting and support to members of the community who need our care. If you are interested in learning more about becoming a member of Unity Church, please visit the welcome table in the parish hall. Our children's library and the Anderson Library are also open after the service and available to you. The libraries are on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. I encourage you to take a look at This Week at Unity Church in your order of service. It serves as a roadmap to deeper involvement in the church. I also want to bring to your attention a special invitation sponsored by House of Hope and Unity Unitarian Church. On August 7th, from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., we will be hosting a neighborhood national night out celebration. It will be held at House of Hope playground and parking lot between Avon and Grotto. All are welcome. Next week, the Sunday worship service will be led by Chico Hathaway, whose sermon title is Unitarians in a Culture of Violence. The service will be at 10 o'clock. Finally, at the conclusion of this service, worship associate Leah Rivamonte and I would like to greet you at the Portland Avenue doors. Again, welcome to Unity Church. Thank you.
Don't leave home without it. How many times have we heard that familiar admonition? But if we are not speaking about the credit card that must never be left behind, according to the commercial, what might we be referring to? Every day, we leave our homes, and we, generally speaking, expect to be returning home. If not later that day, then someday. We leave, however, with the understanding that we don't really know what we'll find out there. We take it for granted that we will return, and sometimes hope that we will return home somehow different, improved, better than when before we left. Maybe the one thing we mustn't leave home without is faith in that journey, no matter where that journey leads us, and no matter how long it will take us to get there. Maybe we should leave home with the faith that we will be returning. Come, let us worship together.
Beginning is often the end, and to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where we start from. We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. Every Sunday, we set aside time to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together, we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that permeates this sacred place. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illnesses seen and unseen, for those who live with addiction, those who live with mental illness, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days. We hold Roxanne and Dan Lehman in our prayers and loving embrace as they mourn the death of their son, Dent, who was killed in an automobile accident in Portland, Oregon on July 20th. Dent had just turned 25. Dan and Roxanne recently returned from Portland, where they attended a service celebrating his life. They are planning to hold another service in Edina on August 18th. Jane O'Brien's sister, Anne Elizabeth O'Connor, died Thursday at the age of 52. There will be a private family service on Monday. We offer our support to Jane during this difficult time. We continue to hold Jim Sen and Marion Wallace in thought and prayer. They remain in ongoing care of hospice. Drew Danielson and Betsy Hearn's 3-year-old daughter, Harper, is in the hospital with a severe E. coli infection and is still undergoing kidney dialysis. Our hearts are with them, and we send our prayers for Harper's full recovery. Virginia Roeder has injured her hip and is recovering at Shalom Home. She's also dealing with a number of other health issues. We send our love to Virginia and pray for her peace and her comfort. We congratulate Eli Gray and Brenna McNeil on their wedding yesterday. Eli grew up in this church. Bob Peskin and Jenny Thompson were married here 2 hours later. And we turn our minds and hearts to the world beyond our church walls. We stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors throughout Minnesota who are struggling to comprehend the horror of the recent I-35W bridge collapse. We share the grief of those who have lost loved ones in this tragedy and of those who carry the agonizing burden of uncertainty over missing friends and family as recovery efforts continue. We pray for healing of body, mind, and soul to all who were injured and to all who have been touched by this traumatic accident. We honor the courage of the first responders, neighbors, and other volunteers, firefighters, and police who came to the aid of so many so quickly and by their acts of bravery and of service saved so many lives. We pray for those throughout our community and around the world who suffer in the midst of neglect, violence, and despair. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. As is the custom here, I now invite you to share the names of those people you would like to celebrate, memorialize, or hold in the embrace of this community. For the names which have been spoken and the names that remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for the lives that have touched ours. Please join me in prayer. O Spirit of life, love, boundless and abiding, we come together this morning, arriving from many different pathways. We bring with us our anxiety, our grief, our pain, and our weariness, as well as our longing for companionship and peace. We are grateful for the gift of this sacred time in this serene space. We are thankful for this community of history and of hope, where we can be known and embraced for who we are, imperfect travelers seeking wholeness along our way. May we take comfort in the blessed certainty that no matter how long the journey, no matter where our path takes us, we are held in the healing embrace of love, the love of family, friends, and neighbors, the love of this blessed community. May it be so, and amen.
We are pleased at Unity to be able to give support to at least a few of the many worthy organizations that serve our larger community. This week, our offering goes to MicroGrants, an organization giving small grants to people of low income for training, classes, and other tools for improving their lives. Please give as you are able.
The first reading is a poem by Mae Sarton. Now I become myself. It's taken time, many years and places. I have been dissolved and shaken, worn other people's faces, run madly as if time were there, terribly old, crying a warning. Hurry, you'll be dead before. What? Before you reach the morning? Or the end of the poem is clear? Or love safe in a walled city? Now to stand still, to be here, feel my own weight and density. The black shadow on the paper is my hand, the shadow of a word as thought shapes the shaper, falls heavy on the page, is heard, all fuses now, falls into place from wish to action, word to silence. My work, my love, my time, my face gathered into one intense gesture of growing like a plant, as slowly as the ripening fruit, fertile, detached, and always spent, falls, but does not exhaust itself. So all the poem is, can give, grows in me to become the song, made so and rooted so by love. Now there is time, and time is young. Oh, in this single hour, I live all of myself and do not move. I, the pursued, who madly ran, stand still, and stop the sun.
This is called Oceans by Juan Ramon Jimenez in a translation by Robert Bly. I have a feeling that my boat has struck down there in the depths against a great thing. And nothing happens. Nothing. Silence. Waves. Nothing happens. Everything happens. Or has everything happened? And we are now standing quietly in that new life.
Thank you.
As a 20-something finishing college, one of my favorite books was Tom Wolfe's The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test. In it, Ken Kesey and his band of merry pranksters painted an old school bus bright with day-glow colors, rigged it for sound, and toured across the country with speakers blaring. The bus became a metaphor for their life journey. The destination sign in the front of the bus read, "Further." These young hippies of the late 1960s were following a yearning of the heart, a longing for a meaningful, transformative journey to a sacred center. In their case, it was a search for the elusive sacred in the heart of America, a search for what remained of the mythical American dream. Their challenging travels through the mountains and forests and great plains of America, over land and water and under skies imbued with spiritual power, their journey of risk and renewal is one kind of pilgrimage. At the age of 51, by then an aging hippie myself, I found I could no longer ignore the call of my heart, the deep and holy, unnameable longing for something more. I wanted to keep my bus brightly painted. I wanted to find fellow travelers and cherish the company of those taking the ride with me, a ride with the destination sign in front called Further. I left behind the safe life I had grown into over 30 years as a business leader, community volunteer, and social activist, and began another kind of pilgrimage. I enrolled as a part-time graduate student at United Theological Seminary and entered the pilgrim life. My destination was a place on the far horizon. I wanted to become a UU parish minister. All UU ministers walk a pilgrim path in order to be able to share our credentials with UU congregations and offer churches our services, to enter into collegial fellowship with other UU ministers. While signposts and milestones of significance are laid out for us by the Ministerial Fellowship Committee of the UU Ministers Association, the MFC, hallowed words, each individual journey always is unique. In addition to completing a Master of Divinity degree or its equivalent, all of us must touch certain basic stops along the way. We diligently check them off as we pass by: formal career assessment and testing, candidacy status granted by an MFC regional subcommittee, sponsorship by a UU congregation, an approved internship, clinical pastoral education, usually a chaplaincy internship, completion of a reading list, and the final step, an interview with the Ministerial Fellowship Committee members. My journey took over 7 years. Some of my colleagues arrive sooner, and others take an even longer route. But now, I have come home. Today, I come before you as a UU minister, accepted into preliminary fellowship with the UU Association earlier this year. All of us pilgrim ministers who completed the journey this year were acknowledged during the service of the living tradition at June's General Assembly. And I was thrilled that Unity Church delegates and my ministers, Rob and Jan Eller Isaacs, were there to celebrate with me. So today, I return to thank you. To say with gratitude that with your help, I've wandered the pilgrim path for long enough, and now I have come home to share some of what I've learned before I set out again. Now I become myself. It's taken time, many years and places. I have been dissolved and shaken, worn other people's faces, run madly. But now I can stand still, can be here. I can be here with you to share my deep appreciation for your faith in me, even when I doubted myself. You, the congregation here at Unity Church Unitarian, sent me on my journey toward ministry with your blessing. You sponsored my candidacy for UU ministry, and you have remained a beacon and a touchstone throughout all the years. When my strength failed and I feared I had lost my way, members of this congregation, staff, and our beloved ministers were there to provide encouragement and support. At times, the pilgrim path seemed like a treasure hunt. At other times, it seemed I was being asked to navigate like Ulysses between Scylla and Charybdis, between a rock and a hard place. And to my surprise, I found that the most difficult part of the trip was not the exterior journey of checking off the exacting MFC requirements. Instead, the hardest pathway, but the most rewarding, turned out to be the interior pilgrimage, my journey of self-discovery and self-exploration. Thomas Merton tells us that the geographical pilgrimage is the symbolic acting out of an inner journey. The inner journey is the interpolation of the meaning and signs of the outer pilgrimage. He points out what I learned, that a pilgrim can have one experience without the other, but it is best to have both. I lingered lovingly and prayerfully at many sacred places along the way. Three of them particularly hold memories of multi-layered experiences. I share these places briefly today with you and name all as holy sites. United Theological Seminary. At this ecumenical sanctuary, I rekindled my passion for scholarship, completing some 30 classes in such areas as Christian and UU theology, world religions, ethics, religious education, preaching and worship, pastoral care, church administration, and finance. I read nearly 1,000 books, composed hundreds of papers, and encountered challenging and compassionate teachers, mentors, and colleagues. Pilgrim House UU Fellowship. This lay-led congregation of more than 80 members was my internship site for 2 church years. Here, wise and loving men, women, and children patiently taught me how to be a parish minister to them. And here, I finally was able to see clearly that my call to ministry is to serve other UU lay-led congregations. Ebenezer Care Center and Fairview Burnsville Hospital. These facilities were my clinical pastoral education sites for 400 hours of soul-making as a chaplain. Here I served long-term care residents with dementia and Alzheimer's disease and took my turn on call at the nearby hospital in the emergency room. Here I was, in Mae Sarton's words, dissolved and shaken. Here I encountered death, wearing many faces and many forms, as over a four-month period I was granted the extraordinary privilege of being companion and witness as death came for many of our residents. In all, I said goodbye to 37 individuals during my stop at these sacred places. Growing into my truest self really began when I realized that everything I encountered and everyone I met was a teacher. My journey was particularly blessed by the presence of Dory Gamble at Pilgrim House UU Fellowship. Dory, in her mid-80s, was dealing courageously with advanced macular degeneration. She showed her gifts for ministry in countless acts of love, both small and large, not only with her generosity of spirit to me, but to all her flock at PH. When I struggled with my sense of inadequacy, my incomplete toolkit, when called on to help those suffering with dementia and Alzheimer's greet death with dignity, wisdom appeared in the form of Reverend Donna Erickson, a 45-year veteran of both parish ministry and chaplaincy. She helped me see that I was not expected to be an expert called on to help the dying. Rather, those who were doing the dying were my teachers, if only I could be truly open and wholly present to them. Those who were dying were teaching me, often wordlessly, about a path that I had not traveled yet, another path that I will inevitably walk someday. These insights, among many, led me to begin to incorporate into each day the spiritual practice of embracing all of life as a classroom filled with spiritual lessons, learning from seemingly negative experiences such as personal doubts and struggles, disappointment, suffering, illness, and even death. I came to see that all my experiences, writing papers, companioning a dying woman, facing my own body's aging and slow decline, preparing for the UU Ministerial Fellowship Committee interview, all were sacred moments, occasions for me to learn about the spiritual practices of patience, generosity, kindness, and fearlessness. Jean Shinoda Bolen observes, if we are spiritual beings on a human path rather than human beings who may be on a spiritual path, then life is not only a journey, but a pilgrimage or quest as well. When we experience sacred moments, it often is not so much a matter of outer geography, but of finding soulful places within ourselves. I came to appreciate more deeply that concept so important to our UU faith, the act of spiritual choice. I am able to choose to see life through a lens of lifelong learning. I choose to be a quester, a pilgrim, a spiritual being on a human path. I'm now approaching life in greater humility and with more receptivity. I'm more likely to meet each new day, each new person, and each new experience with the question, what can I learn from you? I have come to understand that asking good questions is half of learning, as the Prophet Muhammad advises. Or, as Rabbi Abraham Herschel says, we are closer to God when we are asking questions than when we think we have the answers. During my quest, I have learned from my teachers, the poets and mystics, wise elders and fellow pilgrims, that the sacred is in the ordinary, that the sacred is to be found in one's daily life, in one's neighbors, friends, and family, in one's backyard. Something has shifted deep inside me and come to consciousness. When I started my pilgrimage, the sacred was an idea, an emotion, a matter of the mind. But now I carry a knowledge that the sacred is everywhere, in the marrow of my bones. I've changed since I left you, and my family has changed as well. During my pilgrimage, my son grew from a preteen to a young adult. My husband retired, and my doctors have told me I need a hip replacement. We have lost 3 family elders. 2 grandchildren have graduated from college, and we have been blessed with the birth of 2 great-grandchildren. But the deepest of all my changes is the need to share the gift of what I've learned with those of you who may be setting out on your own pilgrimage. I need to share my good news with you. I've come home with gratitude for the journey, gratitude and love for life itself. There is risk in change, and there is risk when we return to the place we started from. Over the past 7 years, this community also has moved on. You, too, have changed. The congregation has grown. There are now 3 services during the week. Some of the friends who sent me on my way have departed. Children I taught in Sunday school are entering graduate school, getting married, starting their own adult life adventures. Many of your faces are new to me, and in turn, you may have been unaware that I once was even here among you. Here at Unity, my travels and my ordinary home life once again overlap. Here I know that the end of my exploration is to arrive where I began, as T.S. Eliot wrote, and know the place for the first time. What every pilgrim discovers sooner or later is that the way we spend each day of our travel is the way we actually spend our lives. Like the roots of a plant, seeking out the precise nutrients and moisture in the soil that the plant needs to grow, something in each of us reaches ever forward toward wholeness, carefully selecting experiences and relationships from which learning can come. We are called to be lifelong pilgrims, to travel ever further towards all that we can be, to feel our own weight and density in our work, our love, our time. As May Sarton reminds us, the pilgrimage towards true self will take time, many years, and places. But the world needs people with the patience and the passion to make the pilgrimage, not only for their own sake. Pilgrimage towards our true self can be a social and political act of transforming not only ourselves, but also the world. The world still waits for the truth that will set us free. My truth, your truth, our truth. The truth that was seeded in the earth when each of us arrived here, formed in the image of the Holy. UU prophet William Ellery Channing tells us that cultivating that seed, cultivating that truth, is the authentic vocation of every human being. Each contribution we make, no matter how small, is part of the saving power of transformation. Writer Jack Kornfield describes the impact of each small contribution on world change as a trim tab effect. He uses the image of an ocean liner which, when underway, generates momentum so great that it cannot be steered by moving its rudder. Rather, a series of adjustments is made in the flaps at the edge of the rudder, the trim tabs. These small changes begin to shift the direction of the ship until the rudder itself can be turned and the ship can take another course. Like trim tabs, our deliberate actions, however small, can change the course of life around us. Kornfield suggests that to use our life to move the world towards compassion and away from suffering is the only thing that matters. The world needs us not to cease from exploration. The world needs us to share the message of our saving UU faith. My parting gift to you is a blessing. A blessing that comes out of my deep gratitude and thanks to the congregation here at Unity and to all that have taught me what it means to be a pilgrim. May we continue to be explorers along the pilgrim path. May we be curious souls who dare to venture beyond known boundaries, cross fields, touch the earth, and reach for the sky with a destination in mind and a purpose in heart. May we be companions to one another along the way. May we share our stories of holy encounter, sacred places and sacred spaces, dangers faced and gifts received. May we aspire to live lives of care, compassion, and joy. May we continue to grow into our most authentic self, part of the greater love that is the spirit of life. May it be so, and amen. This morning. May love surround you and favor you with grace. May the Spirit of love bestow on you friendship and give you joy and peace today and always.